The United States presidential election of 1876 was the 23rd presidential election of this country. It was held on the date Tuesday, November 7th, in 1876. That particular election was one of the most contentious and controversial presidential elections ever in American history. The results of the election remain among the most disputed over, although there is no question that Samuel J. Tiden of New York outpolled Ohio's Rutherford B. Hayes in the popular vote. After a first count of votes, it was clear that Tiden had won 184 electoral votes to Hayes's 165. There were 20 votes unresolved. Those 20 electoral votes were in dispute across four different states. The states of Florida, Louisiana, and South Carolina, those three, each party reported its candidate had won the state. While in Oregon, the fourth state that was in dispute, one elector was declared illegal and was replaced. The question of who should have been awarded these electoral votes is the source of the continued controversy concerning the results of that particular election. Informal deal was struck to resolve the dispute called the Compromise of 1877, which awarded all 20 electoral votes to Hayes. In return for the Democrats' acquiescence to Hayes' election, the Republicans agreed to withdraw federal troops from the South. This particular compromise effectively ceded power to the Southern states, to the Democrats, who went on then to pursue their damaging agenda there in the South. It is to this date the smallest electoral vote victory in the election with the highest voter turnout of the voting age in all of American history. If we fast forward to today, to yesterday, 3 days after this past Tuesday's midterm elections, the news is still buzzing with commentary. Regardless of the winning names and offices, here are some questions for you to consider in light of last week's election. Did any candidate promise change toward morality? Did any candidate promise change toward lawfulness? Did any candidate promise change toward greater ethics? Did any candidate promise a happier family life? Greater responsibility within their marriage? Greater education of their child? Did any candidate push godliness or sacrifice or humility or a greater goodness to humanity in general? If you listen to the radio and watch the TV ads, what do they all have in common when it comes to any political election? It's simply vote for me, right? Vote for me. I'm better than the other guy. We're going to display him in black and white, and I'm going to be in color. I'm better. I look better. I can speak better. Don't vote for him. He's a bad leader. He has all these bad policies that he's always done. But me, my record is great, so vote for me. The incumbents want to stay in power. And the challengers want to be able to take that new office. I'm all for change. God himself is even all for change. But change to what? Change to what? Every election in every country seems crucial. I have some connections to the country in Kenya, where my father-in-law is the senior pastor. And through his involvement there, I see political cycles come and go, elections come and go. Every election in that country is crucial. And it seems to be the case in every other country around the entire world. Stakes are high. The needs are great. Tensions are high, especially in some of these third world countries. Hope is needed. Hope is desired for. Oh, maybe this leader will save us from our troubles. Maybe they'll put more money back into the economy and jobs so that we can have a more prosperous life. With the elections this past week, did you vote for anyone? In this sermon, let's look to the Bible for the ultimate party, the ultimate candidate, the ultimate platform. Change is coming. So who are you voting for? The title is simply that. The title of this message this morning is, who are you voting for? And hopefully that's a question that you can kind of keep ringing over and over again throughout this message. These days that we live in are dangerous times. The need for change is becoming very critical. We read of prophecies in the Bible that says if God did not send his son back and cut those times short, that humanity would literally self-destruct. These dangerous times continue to grow even more dangerous, even more tenuous. And change is becoming critical. And without change, survival of humanity is literally at risk. As world events worsen, as your pastor, I want you to know what to do, how to respond properly, how to be effective. How do you feel about your nation? How do you feel about your nation? How do you feel about the global situation today? Do you wish, looking back, that you had voted on Tuesday? Maybe you're thinking about voting in the future, thinking that your vote can help make a difference in this nation or in some sort of global scenario. It's actually to note that Jesus actually tells us to vote, in a sense, as we'll see in the Bible. He even tells you what party to vote for, what platform to vote for, and which candidate to support. He gives us those things. As in any election, you have to be registered to vote. You have to be registered to vote. My wife and I are not registered voters, although we are in one sense. But when it comes to living in states like Arizona or Ohio, where I was born and raised, both of us spent some time in Texas. For her, she also lived in Arkansas and South Dakota and California and Canada and all kinds of other places. We're not registered to vote in any of those places. But we are registered to vote where it really counts. We are registered to vote there. Are you, though? Are you registered to vote in the areas where it really counts? Let's go over to the book of Luke, and let's read about this registration process here for voting. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And in verse 20, I want to read the second half of this verse. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If you want to be registered any place, this is the ultimate place to have your name registered. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The New Living Translation says, rejoice because your names are registered as citizens of heaven. I like that translation for that verse. Rejoice because your names are registered as citizens of heaven. What a great place to be registered to vote in. A much larger election is looming. Not just the midterm elections that just passed or the upcoming elections here in the next couple of years when a new president of the United States will be voted for. This particular election that's looming, this large battleground that's laid out, is for leadership of the whole world. That is a tremendous election that's off in the distance. Leadership of the whole world. Let's read about these candidates. Let's go over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, in verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our Lord day and night has been cast down. Here's candidate number one. Salvation and strength and kingdom of our God, the power of His Christ has come. That's candidate number one. I like the way those words sound. It's powerful, isn't it? It's convicting. In many ways, it's full of security as well, safety. That's candidate number one. If we drop down to verse 12, the second half of verse 12 here, for the devil has come down having a great wrath because he knows he has a short time. Here's the other candidate. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because this guy also wants to be leader of the entire world. This is candidate number two. So we have here two parties, two candidates, two platforms. Who are you voting for? Who did you vote for last week? The week before that? The week before that? Who did you vote for today? There's a tremendous rivalry here between these two candidates. The sides are drawn. Their platforms have already been developed. Their tactics are devised. They each have their press that's ready to go out. Let's read about the press here of these two candidates. Let's go back to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. This is the press that's sure to go out. This is the influence that goes out for one of the candidates. Lawlessness is part of it. Power and signs and lying wonders. Not positive miracles in order to help, but signs and miracles and strange things will happen to help sway people to his side, to his platform, to his ideologies. Now, if we go back to the book of Revelation chapter 13, we can read a little bit more about the press for this particular candidate. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 14. We read, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Worship me, this candidate says. Worship me. Give all your support to me. Give me everything you have. Dedicate your life to me. Worship me is candidate number two's platform. He wants to be world leader. He wants to be in charge. On the converse, if we go back just a chapter or two to chapter 11, we see some press for the other candidate. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3. I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. For 3.5 years, these two witnesses will describe their candidate, will offer press releases, so to speak. They'll talk about, they'll encourage people toward their candidate. If we go forward to chapter 14 here, Revelation chapter 14, we see some other press that will go on for this candidate. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. This press will also go out, and it will touch everybody on the earth at that time, regardless of where they live, regardless of their heritage, regardless of what language they speak, regardless of what people they claim to be. This angel will go forth with a tremendous message. And that message is fear God. Look to Him. And it's interesting that this message hits directly toward creationism. Have you noticed that about this verse? It's not fear God and give Him glory because He's so wonderful. Notice again verse 7. It's fear God and give glory to Him because He created everything. Notice that that's part of this message. It should be a message that attacks the concept of evolution and things appearing out from nothing and animals morphing into something else and eventually into humans and the development of one race into another race. This angel carrying this press message for this one particular candidate will preach of creationism. It'll preach that there is a creator, that there is a God, and that's the individual you should be worshiping. Worship God, this press will say, this angel that goes around the earth. Worship God. Acknowledge Him as the ultimate creator. So which party or which candidate, which platform have you judged and decided to vote for out of these two candidates? Which one do you vote for? Most likely it's candidate number one, right? Well, here's a follow-up question. How committed are you to candidate number one? How committed are you to him? How much are you supportive of that candidate, of his platform? We show our commitment level based on our life, based on the things that we do and say, based on our desire to change. It's also based on the amount that we compromise, also known as justifying why we don't have to do certain things or not. We show it through our prayers. We lend our support based on those things. Brethren, it's time to vote. It's time to vote. Let's see how God wants you and me to vote. The Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, uses the word palal, P-A-W-L-A-L, when it uses the word pray. The word pray is this Hebrew word palal. The root word of that word, the root of palal, means to judge. Means to judge, to determine, or to decide. Palal is the Old Testament's Bible's word for pray. Prayer begins with you judging. It begins with you deciding. Let's keep that in your mind here for a minute. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews. Again, the Hebrew word used for prayer comes from the root word to determine or to decide. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the chapter we oftentimes refer to as the faith chapter or the trust chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Are we diligently seeking Him? Are we deciding? Are we voting toward God? Or in our prayers and in our life, do we decide, do we determine that sometimes I like this other candidate? Have you judged today? Have you judged today? Again, taking the biblical word, this palal, the word that the Old Testament translates to the word prayer, with its root word of meaning determine or to decide. From that perspective, have you judged today? How many times have you judged today? The day is still early, but how many times have you judged? In other words, prayed. Have you prayed today? Have you judged today? One who prays must first judge or determine. They must select the one that they're praying to. That's something we have to do before we pray. We have to decide who we're praying to, who we're going to submit our lives to. We cannot pray to God if we're an atheist, if we're agnostic, or if we're rather just simply unconvinced, a doubter, or unsure. It's impossible to pray to God in those scenarios. It's the reason why some people find it difficult to pray, because they don't quite understand who they're praying to and what he's all about. Maybe we're unconvinced or unconvicted. It's almost like those uncommitted voters that sometimes show up in pre-election polls. You have the people voting toward this person, and then you have the undecideds. Those people that really haven't made up their minds yet. One who prays must first judge the one that they're praying to, though. Again, we have two parties, two candidates, two platforms, two different groups of voters. And you and I are to judge. We're to choose whom and for what we stand for. Which issues are primary. Which candidates we should back. God himself, though, is ready for your ballot. God is ready for your ballot. Let's talk about these two parties just for a minute. On one hand, we have the Red Party. We have the Red Party and the White Party. The Red Party is the party made up of the devil, like the red horse of Revelation, and that's mentioned of in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4. He's all about war. He's all about division and destruction. That's the mindset of the end time. And currently, this party has a huge lead in the polls. Satan, the god of this world, this candidate has a huge lead. Let's go over to the book of 2 Corinthians. We can read about some of the lead that this devilish candidate has, this Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. They don't believe. Satan has blinded society. And as such, he's taken a huge leap in the polls. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. A huge lead in the polls. That's the Red Party, the party that's of Satan, that's of everything evil, of lawlessness. The party who supports the wide path, which is also the easy path, that wide and easy stretch of highway. On the flip side, we have the White Party. The White Party right now is hardly visible in the polls. The father of the party is spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when he writes, his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. The sun was described by Matthew, by the Gospel of Matthew. And he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Mark also describes the sun. He was transfigured before them, he became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. The children of this party are described by Revelation. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. So we have the Red Party and we have the White Party. The voting booths await your vote. The voting booths are open and they're waiting your vote. Each vote is being counted and it's being stored. And it's being remembered. In today's elections, people will often vote because they see it as their right. They want some sort of change in government or some sort of change in leadership. Sometimes they feel like they're doing their American duty by voting, honoring their citizenship of this country that we live in. But let's go back to the Bible. Let's look at Jesus Christ's instructions. What does Jesus Christ say should be our instructions for how to vote for a big change in an upcoming election? He gives us those details. There are two steps. Are you ready for them? Two steps to vote for a big change. We can read about them over in Matthew chapter 6. So to Matthew chapter 6 and look at these two steps of how we can vote for a big change. Matthew chapter 6. The first step is the location of the voting booth. It's the location of the voting booth. We can find this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. The first step here is critical. It's the location of the voting booth. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The first step here for being involved in this upcoming big election is to know where the location is of your voting booth. Jesus Christ here says, it's in your room. You go in, you shut the door, and you pray to the Father. The next step, step number two, is simply to cast your ballot. Know the location of your booth, and then to cast your ballot. Let's drop down to verse 9. This is how we can cast our ballot. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Everything you are. Remember the press that this candidate that Jesus Christ has, this angel that will go around at the end time, encouraging people to fear God, to acknowledge Him as their Creator. And Jesus Christ continues this. Casting your ballot includes praying to the Father, honoring His name, acknowledging Him as your Creator, fearing Him. Verse 10, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the ballot that we cast for. That's the kingdom that we anticipate. That's the leader that we know will have the ultimate ability to change anything on this earth. This candidate, this party, and this platform is described here. You know who you're voting for. We each know who we're voting for. Verse 13, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The ballot is cast. With your prayer in your closet, your room, that ballot is cast. Your prayer shows judgment. It shows a decision. It shows an intention of your heart. It shows that you desire for God and Jesus Christ to be victorious, to win that end time battle, to rule this earth with love and with peace. Your prayer casts the ballot for that candidate. So let me ask my earlier question again. Did you vote on election day? Did you vote? I did, multiple times, actually, that day. My wife is not feeling well. I had my Sabbath greetings message on my mind. This message and others that I'm working on. I was in and out of prayer multiple times that day. I voted many times that day. You know what? I voted again this morning, too. While Chandler was sleeping, watching the sunrise, voted again, driving down the highway. And guess what? All of those votes counted. All of those votes counted. They were recorded for God. They were recorded for God. Let's understand something. There's a fork in the road right now in this society. There's a fork in the road. All that is happening, all the problems along with all the fixes that are being publicized are Satan's attempt to rule the world. They're simply Satan's attempt to rule the world. Is one political candidate better than the other? Not at all. They're just different views, different ideas. They're each immersed, though, in Satan's society, aren't they? They're each immersed in Satan's society. So let's avoid it. Let's avoid it then. Rather, let's go and vote for God. Let's vote for that candidate. Let's follow this two-step process here that Jesus Christ gives to us. Verse 6, go into our room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Cast your ballot. Our Father in heaven, we give our prayer. We give our dedication, our desire to change to that candidate. We cast the ballot. When the world was on the brink, change rallied the young. These young people voted 3 times per day, and amazing results happened for Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel. You can go and read about that in the book of Daniel, their story, the votes that they cast. Change was also cried out by the mocked, by the tempted, the scourged, the stoned, the tortured, the outcast of society. Hebrews chapter 11 records stories about those individuals as well. And they also voted. They voted for God. They sought a new world government, a new world leader. And that's who they threw their support behind, through prayer. Let's go back just a few pages here to the book of Malachi. Just a couple pages back. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Your vote just doesn't go off into nowhere land. Your prayer isn't offered up and sometimes it flies out of the back of the truck or the windows are down, it gets blown out. Your vote is remembered by God. Your vote is counted. Your vote is important. Verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. He remembers those votes, those prayers. On the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Brethren, change is coming. Change is coming. Who are you voting for? Who are you voting for? Are you voting for a society that will burn up? Or are you voting for the new world order, which is being prepared for? Which candidate's platform do you live daily? Are you about God's way of life? Or are you about finding the loopholes and the justifications and the reasons why you can shift around certain verses? Change is absolutely coming. And your vote is being counted. Whether you pray to God or whether you choose not to. Either way, your vote is being counted. There's a coming election, and all the votes will be counted. Let's read about that over in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. This coming election will have the votes counted. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Have you ever thought about this verse? When you pray, when you cast your vote, so to speak, for God, for His government, those prayers go up through these 24 elders. And the 24 elders offer, as it were, an offering to God, which is your prayer. Have you ever thought about that? What a beautiful picture that must be. What a beautiful visual that is. Here we're praying to God, and we have these angels here that are bowing down before the Lamb, and they're offering up the prayers of the saints. Your vote and my vote. Verse 9, they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." When that election comes, those votes will be counted. Your votes, my votes. If we go over to chapter 19, after this election, a new leader will take place. It'll take office. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great." Again, here's this caveat to people who fear him, just like we read earlier. "Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of the mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." There will be no recount. There are no hanging charges to muddy up the waters of who wins. It's not even going to be a close election. The Lord omnipotent will reign. Jesus Christ will establish the government of God, and his rule will be forever. So what's the result of this ultimate election, this big election that's coming? Let's go back to the book of Isaiah. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 here describes something very beautiful, something incredible, something that modern day politicians and ballots that are being cast can't even compare to. Isaiah chapter 35 here describes the result of this winning election by God. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 1, "The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and bloom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb sing, for the water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the inhabitants, in the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes." This is a most incredible visual, isn't it? This is what that government will usher in. Verse 8, "A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall never go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." What an awesome result of this election. What an awesome result of this particular candidate winning the vote. There's no comparison here, is there, to modern day politics. I've never voted in human politics myself, never served on a jury. Why? Again, this is Satan's world. This isn't the Isaiah 35 that we read about. Let's go forward again to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We read this verse earlier. Let's pick it up again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the first half of verse 4. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded who do not believe. Why do I not vote? This is it. I'm not going to vote for a blind candidate. Let's go over one chapter or a couple chapters to chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't cast your ballot for Satan. Don't cast your ballot for a kingdom, for a world that's going away. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord does Christ have with Baal? Or what part has an unbeliever? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Who are you voting for? Who are you casting your vote for each and every day? The United Church of God has an excellent doctrinal study paper entitled Voting and Involvement in Politics. Here are some highlights from that particular study paper. Number one, those who are converted to God's way of life are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors to that government. Ambassadors are something we're familiar with. We have different countries send representatives to other countries. They live in those countries. Even here in the United States, we have embassies where there's ambassadors, representatives from foreign governments that live here in this country. But their allegiance is to their country. They don't vote in our politics. They're not involved on that level. And Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 that if we're converted, we're ambassadors for a different government, for God's kingdom. Another highlight from the study paper from the United Church of God, as ambassadors and citizens of the kingdom of God, Christians are no longer to be involved in man's system of government. We shouldn't be muddying the waters. And as we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, evil has no part to play with godliness. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes that in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we are eagerly awaiting the return of that leader, the establishment of his kingdom. Another highlight, number four, Christ taught that his kingdom was not of this world. He taught his disciples that his kingdom is not here right now. It's not of this world. Consequently, his servants are called out of this world. We're to be separate from this world. Another highlight, the Bible reveals that it is God who sets up rulers and removes them according to his will. According to his purpose. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17 describes that. The governments holding power do so only as long as God allows them to. So if we translate that then, a vote for what ends up being the losing party is actually a vote against God, isn't it? We can step back and say, oh, that candidate should be in that office. But according to Daniel 4, verse 17, maybe that's not what God wants. A final highlight here of this doctrinal study paper from the church. Jesus Christ said he will return to set up God's kingdom. A world government with righteousness and justice. And we are admonished to pray for that kingdom, for his kingdom to be established on the earth. Matthew chapter 6, we read that earlier. Because then and only then will this world's problems be solved. You and I can't solve this world's problems. Other men and women in this world can't solve this world's problems. Only God and the establishment of his kingdom, with Jesus Christ at the head of that kingdom, only that government can solve the world's problems. Do you still want to vote in human politics? If so, I believe you need a serious examination of your commitment to God. His way, his kingdom. God says this world will fail. It will fail. So what are you hoping gets fixed between now and then? In conclusion, brethren, we need to judge. And we need to judge often. We need to judge, and we need to judge often. Let's make up our minds. Let's avoid the hypocrisy. What do you stand for? Decide who you're voting for. Become a solid participant in the coming government of Jesus Christ. Become a solid supporter of God's soon coming kingdom. Cast your vote throughout the day for that kingdom, for that government, for that candidate. Jesus Christ doesn't need your vote to be successful, meaning your vote is not going to tip the scales one way or the other. He needs the votes to know where you stand. That's the purpose of your vote. He needs your vote to know where you stand and what you stand for. He needs to know if you're going to be an asset to his government, to the kingdom of his Father. Let's read a final verse back in Revelation, chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. These individuals join God's party. They joined that platform. They were fully 100% behind this particular candidate. Brethren, as society spirals downward and the effects of sin increased, what is a Christian to do? What is a Christian to do? Vote. Vote. That is what a Christian is to do. Judge and decide and cast your spiritual vote often. Pray often, as those two steps were that we read back in Matthew chapter 6. Vote for God. Pray to God and let your ballot be cast and remembered in heaven. Keep deciding and keep supporting Jesus Christ as your King today and as the next ruler of the entire world. In doing that, those ballots are passed to the golden bowls and are being counted before the very throne of God. Then the King of Kings will take office and begin a wonderful world tomorrow.